Hello.
Hello. Yes, I've turned on the
recording. I saw that, yes.
Yes, but I think it was not so important what we told. It is simply that all our open printing students have passed the first evaluation round. And of all the 13 Linux Foundation students, 12 have passed, and we are still waiting for the evaluation for the 13th, so no student has failed. And 7 of 13 students have sent in their evaluation. That's it. Now we can continue.
Good. Okay, thank you for putting that in the recording. I see that on the 5th of June, Mike filed a 2.2 and a 2.3 new release. I was just
looking
at the release notes he posted. And I see that also on the 12th of June, you pushed a CUPS filters update.
Yes, yes. The updates are of CUPS are pure bug fix updates. And the 2.2 thingy is Mike is backporting the important bug fixes from the 2.3.x. As long as the licensing issues of the 2.3.x are not solved, Mike is backporting important bug fixes so that distros can continue on 2.2.x.
Yeah,
without
as he said last month at our meeting.
Yes, because the legal department of Apple is working on this problem.
Yes, and not
so,
just for CUPS, but for
yes.
Actually for other major Apple software. And that's the reason we have to wait. It's not, they're not doing it for CUPS, they're doing it for about a half a dozen.
There's also other Apple software which is... where other free softwares depending on needs this license change, license issue solved probably. Not only the most prominent CUPS filters and also some other Linux software which uses the CUPS library.
Right. Till when I look at the index of download CUPS filters, the file name on the June 12th release is not right because it doesn't show the version.
Let me see that.
If you go there, you'll see that it doesn't follow your versioning names. So you might want to repost. I'm sure that there's a release file in there, release notes in there that says the version, but the file name doesn't.
CUPS filters releases on GitHub releases. On the GitHub releases, I have version file numbers. It's CUPS filters -1.20.3.tar.bz2,
okay.
The first one. There are two which get automatically added by GitHub, the last two, which are simply called source code. Oh, they even also have numbers, version numbers.
Okay.
I don't know
because
where you are.
When I go to the from open printing pages to download CUPS filters, which takes me to the index of the directory, it has two new files named CUPS filters -1-2018-06-12-tar and CUPS filters -1-current.tar.
This .1-current, I think, is it new? Then probably
yes,
there's then there's probably some cron job which picks up the last, always the last release and links it to that.
That's what I wondered about.
And then
okay,
it was
so
there all the time.
1.20.3
is always the new
April
version.
Is the current
yes.
Version.
Yes, yes. The current release is 1.20.3.
And
I
send
used
me a note with the release notes
yes.
For that and your plans for...
Yes.
Are you planning a 1.20.4 or are you planning a 1.21?
It's not... It's not yet planned, the next one.
Okay.
The current things which I'm doing are some fixes because of output order and telling in the PPD file somehow, in the generated PPD file somehow that the printer would be whether it has hardware side collate and copies.
Right.
I think the one thing is not correct that when you have a CUPS queue, a remote CUPS queue,
yeah,
that CUPS is perhaps not telling that a CUPS queue itself has hardware collate and copies, but a CUPS queue has that because a CUPS queue by itself does collate and copies with PDF to PDF,
okay,
and so a remote client which points to a CUPS queue as an IPP driverless printer should behave as this printer had hardware copies and collate,
right,
because CUPS takes care of that.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The client, when it treats the CUPS queue as an IPP network printer and therefore runs PDF to PDF as the IPP network printer as a PDF printer, then it should not do software collate and copies as
right,
the CUPS
right,
queue will do it by itself, and then we have duplicate copies.
Right, that's always the problem, is doing
Yes. Probably I have to report a bug to CUPS. I have to investigate this. I think I have already seen once that I had duplicate copies, so I have to investigate this, whether CUPS does it correctly.
Okay. Yeah, this is actually a rather tricky feature. It always has been.
As CUPS, one can consider CUPS as emulating an IPP driverless printer
right,
with its queues when it shares a queue. And we want, for example, that CUPS BrowsD does not distinguish between remote CUPS queues and IPP network printers. And this is one which is in the works by Deepak. And then CUPS has to behave correctly so that we don't get, for example, duplicate copies of wrong output order or things like that.
Okay. Kil Avik sent us a note in reply to Danny's reply 3 minutes ago that said, unfortunately, I'm stuck in a different meeting. So Avik's not going to join us. So we'll have a short call, and if Danny joins us, well, good.
Yes, one moment, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
I'm Dick.
Okay.
Hello?
Good. Hi, I'm here.
Yes. So, no Avik and no Danny.
Maybe Danny in a while, but it depends on if he can get loose. We'll see. You'll send me a written summary of what you did verbally summarize for the student evaluations and the status of our Google Summer of Code, and I'll revise the Google Summer of Code notes to show that the two projects are outside of Google Summer of Code but are continuing.
Yes, yes. I have also an email of Zahil, who has done 2 months of his project beforehand and will complete in the next weeks, in the next few weeks.
Okay.
That he is continuing that Jay Berkenbild, the upstream, the maintainer of QPDF, will be 1 week off work in the next week and use this for working on QPDF. And so probably they will solve the last issues to complete Zahil's project.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, yes.
Very good.
And I've also remembered Zahil to do his final report already.
Right.
Because he finalizes early. So that I can post the link in the evaluation in the end of the summer. And the first evaluation of him, I've done 3 evaluations for the 2 students which are currently regularly mentoring and for Zahil, who I and Jay have mentored beforehand.
Right.
I've simply passed him and told that he is, that he did very well. And I will do with a second evaluation the same. And if he completes at any time before or at the end of the summer, I will also pass him on the 3rd evaluation.
Okay, good.
And I have also remembered him that at every evaluation round, he by himself has done the student side evaluation for the mentor, that this is also important for him to pass.
Right.
So that he does not forget it, not that he thinks he has given me the final report and then the summer is over for him.
I'm here. I'm just making a note.
Yes.
Okay. We did have the IPP call that was right after the mid-May face-to-face. We were all too busy, and Mike had gone on vacation, so we canceled that
call. Yes, yes.
But we did have an IPP call last Thursday, and we did, and Mike's sent out minutes, and we did review several documents, including the update of the latest draft of IPP Everywhere 1.1, the actual standard, as well as self-certification 1.1, the manual for the tool. And
yeah.
We're making good headway on that. Mike,
very important.
Go ahead.
Yes. Very important in this IPP Everywhere is, as for driverless printing in general, that all and every feature of every printer should be supported, because currently there are complaints, for example, from who was it, that I have recently complaints. Was it Rico? Was it Lexmark? That the driverless printing does not cover everything. I think it was Rico. I think it was Ulrich Wehner.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was Ulrich.
Yes, yes. That driverless does not cover all the features.
And the thing is, I don't think we will be changing PWG IPP everywhere, but as Mike said during the face-to-face, Apple AirPrint does require support of all the features. So if a printer supports both AirPrint and standard IPP everywhere and Wi-Fi direct printing, then it will support all the features. And apparently there are very few printers that who, if they did driverless printing at all, who didn't actually go through the exercise of Apple AirPrint certification, because they need Apple certification. So
yes,
that's our correct answer for Rico printers, for Ulrich or for others, is the vendors should be supporting it, but PWG can't mandate it, because we can't, unless we do IPP Everywhere 2.0, we can't force all features.
Yes, the only problem I think is that Apple AirPrint is not completely open. So
no,
that
it never will be completely open. But what I'm trying to say, Till, is in a minor release, IPP Everywhere 1.1, which we're doing now,
yes, yes, one cannot
just raise conformance requirements. We can only clarify.
Yes. Yes.
So we would have to do a major release, and that needs serious discussion among PWG people, because if we raise it very high, Till, in 2.0,
yes,
the problem is, do we discourage printer manufacturers from seeking IPP Everywhere certification? I think
it comes down to
we can't
for
do
them.
It in the standard. I mean, Apple can in AirPrint, but that's different. You know, I mean, that's like Microsoft doing it. But I think what we can do is to make it best practice, and we can even say in IPP Everywhere 1.1, we can make strong best practice recommendations, not requirements, for supporting all core features.
Yes.
So next week I am going to be down in Detroit for the ESCAR, which is Embedded Systems Cars Security Conference. It's actually in Ypsilanti, but Detroit. Simultaneously, the Trusted Computing Group's next meeting is going to be going on in San Diego. Unfortunately, they planned this badly, so I was going to but cannot attend that meeting. And the next PWG face-to-face will be a virtual meeting, and it's been moved to the second week of April. The first week actually didn't work for several of us, so it's going to be on August 15th and 16th.
Yes.
I will put that in the minutes, but I wanted to let you know it's going to be moved to a virtual meeting on the second week of August. And hang on, let me make a quick cut and paste here, and then I want to talk about our own timing for meetings upcoming in the next 3 months, and at least get you and I scheduled into them. So tentatively, we already back in April, decided that the July meeting shouldn't be on July 3rd because that's the day before a U.S. holiday and which we're not going to get attendance. So we moved it to July 10th. So I want you to look at your calendar for August and September.
Yes. July 10th is no problem for me. I don't know about anything which happens there.
Okay. August 14th, because August 7th I'll be on travel. I can't possibly do the meeting on August 7th.
Yes.
So that would be the day before the PWG virtual face-to-face, which would be good timing, because if we had any input on Google Summer of Code, or for that matter, on other driverless printing topics for PWG, we could talk about it on the Tuesday, and then I could take it to the meeting on Wednesday.
Yes. So we keep this.
Okay. And then September, the U.S. holiday is September 3rd. Making September 4th impossible. It's one of the two major U.S. holidays. So I'm proposing Tuesday the 11th of September, the second Tuesday of September. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Let's assume that those are okay then, and when you have a chance, you'll write up the April 1.20.3 cups, filters, notes, and the cups release notes, or I'll go pull them off of Mike's page, and I'll get out minutes as soon as I can. It will probably be this weekend before I get to getting out minutes. And I will be traveling next Monday. I will be then downstate for 4 days in conferences, and then I will be traveling Saturday of the end of next week. And those are pretty much all-day travels because it's 450 miles and about 125 is on two-lane highway, so pretty slow.
Yes. So you do this trip driving.
Right, yeah. There are no airports anywhere near me, and they don't fly to where I need to go, so it wouldn't take a flight.
Yes.
So I think that's it for topics that I had for today. Steering committee call last week, we did a debrief of the face-to-face, and I think everyone felt that the face-to-face went very well, and we had really good participation and good spirit. And Sean from Google had communicated to Smith that he's working on getting Google to become a voting member of PWG, joining again, and that will be excellent. So the Chrome team is enthusiastic about IPP and IPP USB, and that's good. I think that's
because for some
platform
like Chromebook, it's very good to have driverless printing.
Yes, it is actually very good because from their point of view, it's much better than to start dealing with drivers, which would be a nightmare for the Chrome team.
Yes. And for them, it's also important because the Chromebook allows also to connect a printer to USB, that IPP over USB is working correctly.
Right.
And that printers do IPP over USB.
Right. It actually, for both the Chromebook and for Chrome OS and for the Chrome browser, driverless printing with IPP is pretty important. In terms of, you know, it may not be the most important application to some people, but almost everyone needs to print sometimes. And when they do, they want it to work.
Yes.
We've been saying for more than a decade now, but we've finally gotten to the point that it does work, that we have a PDF workflow and that we have are actually able to make driverless printing common and the conventional method.
Yes.
And I think that's all. Oh, no, I have another piece of news for you. The IESG the steering group, which is the area directors of the various operations and, you know, application and so on, routing areas of IETF, are meeting next in a usual biweekly conference call on the 21st next week, and on their agenda is to advance IPP 1.1, RFC 8010 and 8011 to full internet standard. And so far there has been no pushback, and Alexei Minkov is working on it. He's an area director, and it looks, I think, like they will approve it, and we will then have IPP 1.1, full internet standard, IPP 2.0, 2.1, 2.2, as full IEEE standard, and all of our base versions that underlie IPP everywhere and our all of our many later standard specs will be supported by a core protocol that's full standard in both IETF and IEEE.
Yes, that is very good.
I think it's unlikely that, well, let me look at my email once more and see if either Danny or Veek are coming, but I think, no, they haven't sent any more mail. I think we should adjourn for the day, and you'll send me some notes, and I'll work on some PWG update from my April notes. Put there a whole bunch of new versions of the documents. In fact, almost all of the work in progress, best practices and standards for IPP have new versions in the last 2 weeks. So I will get that information up to date in the minutes. And we will talk next month, the second week of July.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. See you later. Bye.